Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
Senate Ag Committee will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Garnos? Hansen? Klochek?
Here.
Maurer?
Here.
Maurer?
Maher.
Peterson?
Here.
Valley?
Here.
Howie?
Here.
Roden?
Here.
Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
Quorum is present. Are there additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, motion to approve by Klochek, seconded by Senator Howie. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. All those in favor say thank you. All opposed say no. Minutes are approved. See, it's going to be a little bit of a yawner today. Okay, we have one bill today. The chair, originally I took this bill up because it was my original intention to refer this bill to appropriations. We've kind of changed our mind and in order to get it to appropriations and have them have the chance to hear it and get it out of committee would have had to be taken up today. However, we've changed our minds and I plan on taking action on this, although I'll state up front that just to keep this conversation alive and at this point in the process, not knowing where we're going to end up budgetarily at the end of the day, I'll state up right up front that my intention is to amend it at the end of the day, to amend the bill to a dollar and send it to the floor if the committee agrees to that. So with that in mind, we will take up Senate before we get started. Just a reminder for those that are going to testify today, if you'd sign up at the roster at the front door. Also, you might check your cell phones, make sure they're in the proper setting. We are live on the internet, so if you want to testify or if you have comments, we'd ask that you make comments and questions in front of a live mic. With that, we'll take up Senate Bill 181, an act to make an appropriation for the support of the state fair. Symbol 181 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle Hand and Girald counties. It seems like just a short time since we appeared before the Senate committee explaining the merits of the South Dakota State Fair. However, this year the circumstances are slightly different. We've just completed the third consecutive very successful year. The Secretary of Ag, along with the manager and the staff, have developed a realistic budget and lived within that budget as promised. Attendance has increased, and as has the tax revenues generated for the state. Everyone has done what they said they would do and could do. But here we are again asking for an appropriation. We had hoped that state support for the state fair could be incorporated into the Department of Agriculture's budget. It was for a while, but in the governor's revised budget presented a couple weeks ago, that appropriation was again removed. I understand an amendment is to be offered, and I consider it a friendly amendment. The important thing at this point is to keep this issue moving forward. That will allow us some additional time to sort through the budget in search of a solution most satisfactory to the largest number of people. I have others here to share testimony with you, but first allow me to review some facts worthy of your consideration. Reality makes year's discussion of the state fair unique. It's like a big piece of machinery. There's difficulty in shutting it down. It's not like closing an office by disconnecting the phone, turning off the lights, and turning in the key. Even if we don't hold a fair, there are expenses needing to be paid. These expenses are estimated to be well over $300,000 annually. That may seem high, but it would be necessary in order to maintain the property, cut the grass, and plow the snow. There would also be a minimal requirement for electricity and natural gas to maintain the 90-plus buildings on the property. And there is the matter of a large workman's compensation insurance claim that is ongoing. These expenses continue annually, whether we hold a fair or not. Revenue lost has the same effect as budget on the budget as increased expenses. Last year, state government received nearly $80,000 in sales tax and tourism tax from vending sales and permits during the five-day fair. Those funds would not exist if there was no fair. Also, another $100,000 in sales tax revenue to the state is generated by the Dakota Promotions races, which utilizes the grandstand and a portion of the property. This also would be lost if there was no fair. If there was no state fair, there would be no state fair grounds. That is because of a restrictive covenant in the 1905 deed which gifted most of the property to the state. That covenant is pretty specific as to the type of exhibition that is to be held in order for it to be called a state fair. If we were to default on that covenant, the property would revert to the donor, which was the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, their successors and assigns. State government would be allowed 60 days for all those buildings to be removed. There are other good financial reasons to justify the continuation of the event, but this is sufficient to give you a grasp of the complexity of the situation. I will stand down and will be happy to answer questions after you have heard the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Peggy Woolridge, Executive Director of the Huron Chamber and Visitors Bureau, and I would like to urge your support of Senate Bill 181. I'm sure none of you are surprised to see me here today asking your support, given the fact that Huron is home of the South Dakota State Fair and has a tremendous economic impact on our community and the surrounding area. But I want to remind everyone that while Huron maybe it's home, the South Dakota State Fair is the state fair, and as such, the state must uphold some realistic level of economic support to ensure the continuation and stability of the fair. Huron has a population of just nearly 12,000 people. When you consider last year's state fair attendance figures exceeded 157,000 people, nearly 14 times the size of Huron's population and 20% of the state's population, it becomes apparent it is not just a Huron or county fair. And when you factor in the 6,200 entries in livestock programs, 3,800 static entries, 1,500 horticulture entries, 4,600 education entries, and over 13,000 entries in 4-H and FFA activities, you must recognize that the South Dakota State Fair is surely and clearly a showcase of South Dakota's ag industry, its products, and its people, fulfilling a vital need in bringing youth, families, and people together to celebrate South Dakota's pride, spirit, and accomplishments. The South Dakota State Fair is a family-oriented, wholesome event that is the epitome of South Dakota's landscape, values, character, and integrity, a tradition that has been in existence for 123 years. Obviously, the legislators that served before you recognize the state fair's value and importance to South Dakota, and I hope you too will stand in support. In terms of economics, the South Dakota State Fair employs 8 full-time dedicated employees, which may not seem like a huge number, but when you factor in the 294 seasonal employees hired for the fair, an additional 350 people that are hired by other commercial vendors, you're talking about 652 employment positions and opportunities. Many of these people rely on this employment, this income, year after year. And let us also recognize that these 652 people are spending most of their income on South Dakota goods and services, resulting in additional tax revenues for the state of South Dakota. Addressing those tax revenues, last year the South Dakota State Fair generated over $1.5 million in gross sales, realizing over $123,000 in sales tax just during the 5 to 7 days of the fair. If you factor in approximately $3.7 million in sales from off-season events, you are looking at an additional $300,000 in sales tax revenue. The two combined is over $425,000 in sales tax generated from the South Dakota State Fair and its off-season events. The South Dakota State Fair is an economic engine for our state, generating hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales and sales tax. Please support the South Dakota State Fair, Senate Bill 181. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Pam Geppert, and I am from Brule County. I am a 4-H leader. For the past 4 years, I've been fortunate to have two teenage daughters compete in the South Dakota State Volleyball Tournament. For many of my fellow parents, this was their first chance to witness their kids in state competition. But for the parents with kids in 4-H and FFA, most have had the opportunity to help their children compete and learn life skills at the South Dakota State Fair. South Dakota has the highest percentage of youth in 4-H in the 12-state Midwestern region, with 10,500 kids ages 8 to 18 enrolled in 4-H. The South Dakota State Fair is their state tournament. At the state fair, they actively participate in showing livestock, including beef, swine, sheep, dairy, rabbits, goats, and poultry, as well as dogs and cats. The skills learned in the 4-H Livestock Project paves the way for future careers in agriculture. 4-H kids give speeches and demonstrations at the state fair, developing their public speaking skills at an early age. I've had many English teachers tell me over the years they can always tell a child that's been in 4-H because their speaking skills are more advanced than others in their age group. In fact, in 2008, more than 2,300 4-H'ers participated in youth and action projects at the South Dakota State Fair, which include judging, speeches, fashion review, and special foods. 4-H youth also exhibited more than 13,000 display items at last year's state fair, up nearly 2,000 exhibits over 2007. FFA is also actively growing at the state fair, with 685 FFA entries last year compared to 600 the year before. The South Dakota State Fair is often labeled the state's largest classroom, as the lessons learned and experiences obtained are invaluable to the entire state. For many, the South Dakota State Fair is the spark that ignites a passion for agriculture, growing into a flame that can bring new farmers and ranchers onto South Dakota's land. Agriculture is our state's top industry, surpassing all others. The South Dakota State Fair's two-pronged focus is agriculture and youth, a combination that will ensure a bright future for South Dakota as a whole. Every recent agricultural census shows that the average age of South Dakota's farmers and ranchers continues to increase, with fewer young people returning to production agriculture. The South Dakota State Fair is one project that you, the legislature, can support that sends a message to our youth that agriculture is important in South Dakota. The State Fair is also a way to reach out to our urban friends. At the State Fair, we can roll out the red carpet, offering them an opportunity to learn more about today's modern way of raising food, fiber, and energy. Educational projects that can make an impact on folks living away from the farm include the South Dakota's largest classroom program, which was attended last year by dozens of schools in the region, the FFA Animal Nursery, the value-added program, not to mention the hundreds of activities involving animals and crops. The money that you, the legislature, so wisely invested the past few years has made a significant impact on the success of the fair. Attendance continues to climb. Sales tax revenues increased 29%. FFA entries rose 12%. And 4-H displays increased more than 14%. Your financial support has helped the state fair achieve these successes, all while staying within budget. You may not be aware of how deeply the 4-H community cares for the state fair. Last year, a call went out to 4-H'ers to help with painting and fix-up of numerous 4-H areas on the state fairgrounds. Dozens of county 4-H groups responded, putting their own funds into transportation to Huron and then painting and cleaning when needed. Without your financial support for the fair, the future for the state fair as the state tournament for South Dakota's 10,000 4-H'ers is in jeopardy. If you believe in South Dakota's youth, and if you believe in South Dakota's agriculture, vote to support Senate Bill 181. I thank you for allowing me to visit with you today.
Thank you, Pam. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Rob Tim. I'm the president of the Huron Chamber and Visitors Bureau, and also a proud parent of a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I was thinking about my testimony today, the other day, and I thought to myself, well, and in my preparations, I wonder who should I ask to get some real good information about the fair. And yes, I talked to our chamber executive director and our legislators and that, but I talked to my 9-year-old and 5-year-old, and I asked them, well, what do you think about the fair? Do you like the fair? And they said, you bet I like the fair. What do you like about the fair? My 9-year-old tells me I like the rides, I like the food, and I like, you know, I like the animals. And my 5-year-old tells me I like the animals too. I like that. And that's something I know that the previous testimony we talked about is that, you know, you have the youth of South Dakota, that this is the largest classroom for them, and you truly need to take that into consideration. In front of you, you have a copy of just the brief history of the South Dakota State Fair, and quite frankly, it's not good bedtime reading because it will keep you up. It is interesting in itself, and as Senator Hansen alluded to, there's some interesting dynamics regarding the state fair and how that has become a, quote, property of the state of South Dakota. But I want to also let you know that this is not just a Huron issue. It is a state issue. It is an economic development issue. It's a jobs development issue. It is a state revenue issue. It is a state sales tax issue. It is all of those rolled up into one. I'm not here to regurgitate all of the information that was previously provided to you, but the point of the matter is you've made an investment in the fair, and that investment has paid off. In the past, you've asked the state fair to make changes. They've made those changes, and those changes have paid off. And so you've asked the state fair to do things such as develop off-season events, and as Ms. Woolridge testified, those off-season events have increased in nature. And in 2009, those off-season events pretty much, the entire calendar is beginning to fill up, and if not, it's already filled up. My bottom line is, this is an investment. This is a state fair. And so we hope that you will continue to look at it as an investment in the future of South Dakota. And with that, we encourage you to vote yes for this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Pam Bonrud. I'm the Director of Government and Regulatory Affairs for Northwestern Energy. I'm also their registered lobbyist. We are here today as well to offer our support for Senate Bill 181 and to stress the importance of what the South Dakota State Fair means to our state and to all those individuals that participate in the event each year. I think the South Dakota State Fair is truly one of those events that gets to what the heart of South Dakota is, and it does warrant your support. Northwestern Energy is proud of the longstanding history that we've had with the State Fair in sponsoring numerous events at the fair, along with Northwestern Energy Day, and in recent years we've become the sponsor of the Freedom Stage that provides a lot of the free acts that people can come and enjoy while they're visiting the State Fair. So we would also appreciate your support for Senate Bill 181. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Representative Quittenberg, District 22. And I'm going to touch a little different area because I've been a part of the Appropriations Committee. I'm going on my ninth year. And we have dealt with the State Fair most of those years in the Appropriations Committee. And really, probably about 5-6 years ago, when we really decided that we really had to change the way business was being done with the State Fair, we put a subgroup together in the Appropriations Committee, and we came up with a plan. And we came up with a pretty good plan because we were always going back and trying to catch up with funding, and now we put funding up ahead because there's always been a support there for the State Fair. Excuse me, I think I lean into these things a little too much. But the thing with the State Fair is we kind of put it on a different level as we do other state institutions. There's very few other state institutions that we actually make them stand alone. We used to do that with Custer State Park. And when the buffalo sales dropped out of bed from Custer State Park from about $1.3 million down to $300,000 or $400,000, it no longer could cash flow on its own, so we put it under the park system. The Cultural Heritage Center has always been under historical, the Department of Historical Preservation, or Tours and Economic Development right now. We give $1.8 million a year to keep the Cultural Heritage Center open. It probably, I don't know exactly, but I think it probably has less than 50,000 people that probably go through its doors. And it was $2.5 million, but once the bond issue was paid off a year ago, it has come down. So we really ask very few other institutions in this state to be self-supporting and to make money. And the State Fair has come a long ways in the last 3 or 4 years to doing that. But they're going to need some help for the next few years to where I think they can get. And if we pull the rug out now, we have wasted all the effort that's been put in for the last 4 to 5 years to get us to this point. We've tried, you know, there's probably, you know, I'm not even going to say a number because the same number that's going to be put in there isn't. But we're going to try to find a level at where we can sustain this State Fair this year and hopefully keep it going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents?
Good morning. Johnny Kirstein, South Dakota Farmers Union. We urge you to support this for exactly what everybody else said. So I guess it's the Me Too portion. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will close and open testimony to opponents. Opponents to Senate Bill 181.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Josh Larson, Bureau of Finance and Management. Mr. Chairman, we are in no doubt in some difficult economic times today. That's why I have to come and oppose this bill and its request for an appropriation. When the December budget was released by the governor, the general fund support was included in his recommendation, and that was established in the base budget for ongoing support of the fair. As we got a little bit further down the road and recognized some of the harder economic times that we were going to be facing, and in the January revised budget, we had to make that hard decision to remove the general fund support for the State Fair, as well as $46 million in other cuts statewide. Please understand that when we released the January budget, we had a balanced budget. If we include this bill, and it's a spending bill, we're going to short some other portion of state government somewhere along the way. So it's kind of a give and take. In closing, Mr. Chairman, at this time, the State Fair or the State General Fund cannot continue to support funding the State Fair in an ongoing manner, which we currently do, especially when we're facing a structural deficit. With that, I would urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 181, and I would stand by for questions.
Thank you, Josh. Any other opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing none, we will close and open the committee for questions. Senator Peterson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know who wants to answer this, but
actually,
I want to...
Actually, excuse me, Senator Peterson. I would offer a brief rebuttal to Senator Hansen if you feel so inclined.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the point that you need to keep in mind as you consider the worthiness of a $450,000 appropriation or a dollar, you know, someplace we're going to arrive at a number that needs to be addressed. But there has been no mention made of where is the money going to come from to not have a fair. I mentioned $300,000 worth of ongoing expense, of which about $160,000 of that is a liability, a continuing liability with regard to old ongoing workman's compensation insurance claim. And that has to be paid whether it's paid out of state fair revenue or revenue from some other source. And so, you know, it seems quite logical that the end result should be that, okay, given all of the data that you've been exposed to, state government is going to be worse off if we don't have a state fair than if we do.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Now we will go to questions. Senator Peterson, sorry about the interruption.
That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions, if I may. I have a couple questions. I'm trying to get my arms around the financial ramifications of not having a fair. And Senator Hansen mentioned that this land could revert back to the railroad, and we could have the responsibility for removing the buildings. How big of a responsibility would that be, and is that written in the when the land was originally given to the state?
Yes, it is, Senator, Mr. Chairman, I have a copy of the deed. In fact, we should have copies made for all of you because it really is kind of interesting reading, and it's quite specific. It mentions that the covenant is restrictive to having a state fair. And it says that this is not just an ordinary exposition. It has to feature competition in four species of livestock. And, you know, that would be swine, cattle, sheep, horses, horticulture displays, and it has to be held on an annual basis. And the deed was issued in 1905, and it's signed by Marvin Hewitt, who you may would connect with the name of the hotel in Huron, but Marvin Hewitt was the president of the Chicago Northwestern Railroad at that time. And it says it continues to successors and assigns. So, you know, there may be a little bit of question is, okay, who is it that would call for performance on that covenant? But it's also pretty easy to, the first name that jumps into your mind is the DM&E because they are, you know, they are basically the successor of the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. And, you know, there might be some questions with regard to that 60-day time period. Does that mean that the state government has 60 days to remove the structures, or does it mean that state government has to remove the structures within 60 days? And you know, these are some things that do get a little bit difficult to really identify. But you know, you have buildings that could be moved, but you have something like the grandstand, which you know, either it's there. Little questionable whether anybody else would make use of the grandstand, and so just the removal of that alone would represent a pretty sizable demolition commitment. So It looks like the wording in that deed is specific enough that it is something for us to be, you know, have a major degree of concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like a copy of that deed. If you could have one of the pages do that, that'd be helpful. I'm guessing maybe you can clarify, are there any specifics in that language when it talks about four species as to the size of the displays, or just four species and some other criteria? I mean, it doesn't dictate, does it, that we have the particular size of a state fair that we have today? Is that a fair question? Mr. Chairman, while he's looking for that, I might just make an observation, if you don't mind.
Okay.
With regard to I find it a little bit amusing personally that the DM&E could end up with this property. Well, certainly they wouldn't mind then if the state just exercised eminent domain and took it right back.
Well, you can kind of let your imagination, not necessarily imagination, but, you know, the thought process can take many different twists. And you mentioned a pretty good point in that, you know, the Huron has been identified as the site for the operations center for the DM&E Railroad. And I'm not sure. I think the acreage is reasonably comparable. Probably a little bit of the difficulty is, you know, it's right in town, which would not necessarily lend itself to their particular needs. And another thing that I think was kind of interesting, remember I mentioned 1905 as being the date on that deed. And again, I'm kind of letting my imagination run a little bit, but you know, you probably had a chance to at least know about Marshall Damgaard's book, you know, talking about the history of the state capital and the history of determining where the state capital was to be located. And I do know that there was a competition between, you know, Huron was one of the competing sites, and Mitchell was the other competing site. Pierre was, I think, a little bit of an afterthought in both cases, but Huron is on the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. Mitchell was on the Milwaukee Railroad, and as I understand, those two railroads were probably the big players in the determination of where that where the state capital was to end up being. I don't quite understand why Chicago Northwestern determined to support Huron rather than supporting Pierre, but I'm speculating that that was one of the plums that Chicago Northwestern Railroad offered up to the state of South Dakota as an inducement to locate the state capital in Huron.
Further questions? Senator Peterson, and then Senator Bradford.
Thank you. I had a second question on loss of revenue. When you're talking about sales tax collected in this handout, is that just the sales tax that's collected on the actual fairgrounds, or does that include the increase in sales tax collected in the city?
The numbers that I reported are the sales tax and the tourism tax that are collected, the state sales tax and tourism tax that's collected during the fair that gravitates to state government. Now, in addition to the, it's about $60,000 worth of sales tax, so there would be $30,000 that would gravitate over to city government on the sales tax portion. And the numbers that Ms. Wellridge reported are the sales tax, you know, you're getting into a little bit more of an estimated figure there, but as a result of the increased economic activity in the area, that would appear to be money that is generated because of the visitor traffic to Huron.
But you can, you know, I don't think that it's any stretch of the imagination to say that that sales tax that's generated on the fairgrounds by the vendors and the fair visitors, that is money that is there because the state fair is there, and if the state fair was not there, that money would not be there either.
Further questions, Senator Bradford.
Senator Hansen, this is a little different, but I wondered if we didn't have the state fair, would that have an adverse effect on our county fairs? I mean, in the fact that some of those kids present there and then go on to...
Have they been handed out to everybody? Senator Bradford, Mr. Chairman, I am not sure that I'm the best person to answer that. We have others here that that may be able to have a different take on it, but I would think that it would be a negative as far as the other fairs, because remembering back to Ms. Geppert's comments with regard to the 4-H program, the state fair is the, you know, that's the state tournament, that's the championship game as far as the youth activities are concerned, and it's difficult to think in terms of having the county fair be elevated to that same position in the thought process as far as the terminal or the climax event that that the state fair is. So I would expect that it would not only have a negative effect on the county fairs, I think it would also have a somewhat of a negative effect on the participation of youth in so many of these programs.
I would, and realizing that the Secretary even did not testify as a proponent or opponent, I'm going to take the liberty of asking you for a comment, if you would be so kind. Thank you, Secretary Even. What I'd like to solicit your comments on, you know, we've seen the handouts, and you've testified before this committee as far as, you know, the successes and the movement that we've had in trans in the state fair. Do you foresee a day or the possibility or the likelihood that that trend will continue and that we will at some point find the state fair standing on its own if we continue to provide it some help until that time comes?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Even, your Secretary of Agriculture, I think to answer your question, it depends on what you want the scope of the state fair and the state fair park to be on an annual basis. As you heard previous testimony today, one of the directions that we receive from the legislature and the governor is to spread the risk from a five-day event and spread it throughout the year by having various off-season events, and we have done that. Like any other public entity or public institution owned by the state of South Dakota, it will require general fund support. The scope of how you want the state fair to operate would then determine that level. You heard earlier testimony today that pointed out the uniqueness of a state facility that's also asked to try and generate enough operating revenue to stand on its own. At the scope of a year-round venue, the state fair is unable to generate enough revenue to operate year-round completely on its own. Trends are moving in the correct direction. I would grant you that toward self-sufficiency, but it would certainly be dishonest for me to sit in front of you today and make a prediction that the state fair would be able to stand on its own some point in the future.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Valley.
I have a question for Peggy from the Chamber of Commerce here in Chamber. And I'm trying to, as Senator Peterson was, trying to get a handle on what money is coming in from tax revenue to the state because we have the state fair, and putting that against what is in this bill, and then the costs that Senator Hansen was talking about to not have the state fair. What are our costs? So if you could review, you went too fast for this Norwegian when you were going through those numbers. If you could kind of help me and maybe Senator Peterson a little bit on giving those numbers and where they're coming from and how much would go to the state and how much might go to the city.
Mr. Chairman, okay, I'm going to scan down as part of my testimony. In referring to tax revenues, last year the South Dakota State Fair generated over $1.5 million in gross sales, which realized approximately $123,000 in sales tax over the 5 to 7 days of the fair. These figures were gathered using the South Dakota Department of Revenue, the City of Huron sales tax figures, and some information from the state fair. If you factor in approximately $3.7 million in sales from the off-season events, you're looking at approximately $300,000 in sales tax revenue. So the two combined comes to approximately $425,000 from the state fair and the off-season events. And that it would be in state, city, tourism tax.
Follow up.
Senator Belli.
As I understand that now, the 1.5 in gross sales was just from the state fair itself and generated $123,000 in tax. The 3.7 in off-season, is that just from what occurred on the state fairgrounds, or is that what we say motels, restaurants in the Huron area? I'm just trying to see, are we mixing apples and oranges when we're doing that?
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. It does include the spending from the Huron area as a result of the fair.
Quick follow-up. And the $123,000 did not include what was came in according to the city off the fairgrounds. That $123,000, was that just for what happened on the fairgrounds?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. In scanning my numbers here in front of me, trying to give you a quick answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Peggy, personal question. Are you related to Pamela?
No.
You aren't?
No.
Okay. Senator Klocek.
Senator Hansen, in the past, there's been attempts, I know I've done it, I believe Senator Flowers and maybe even Representative Berg have done it, but many have made attempts to dedicate some of the money for that is collected by these sales tax, which leads to the obvious question we've been leading to. $425,000, and maybe even doing a tax for the whole city that all the taxes collected would go for the fair. Have you attempted anything like that, or is there any support? Are there any bills hanging out there in the legislature yet that we could earmark some of this money back to the fair that is collected during the state fair week and on campus and off campus, on the grounds and off grounds?
Thank you, Senator Klocek, for the question. Mr. Chairman, Tom Hansen again, Senator from District 22. To answer your question, no, I have not made any attempt to try to and I'll approach the situation from that standpoint. And you know, you can build a good argument in support of saying, okay, these are revenues that are here because of the fact that we have the fair, and what more, you know, what more evidence that we need to say, you know, this is a income revenue stream. And I have really directed my efforts in the past all the time to say, I'm comfortable with having the support just come from the general fund. But, of course, we need for it to continue to come from the general fund. And I think that you can play, you know, I think you can kind of play games with numbers if you choose. You could say that the state fair is self-supporting if we were to be able to direct, you know, those specific tax revenues. And but, you know, is anybody any better off as a result of it? And so, you know, those are some questions that I don't know the answer to. And that's a decision that needs to be made actually by the legislative body. If we chose to want to dedicate a portion of the sales tax revenue, that would be a worthy project to work on. But that's not part of this discussion today, I guess.
Okay. Thank you. Before we move on, I wanted to take a second to introduce our pages today. Sarah, how do you say your last name? Lupke? Sarah Lupke from Corsica, and Ryan Peterson from Hitchcock. Any relation to the famous Senator Peterson? Yeah. Well, Peterson is kind of an uncommon name. I just thought. Okay, any other questions from the committee? Any other questions? Seeing none, I would, if the amendment's been passed out, I would entertain a motion on the amendment. Senator Howey?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move 181OH.
Motion to amend by Howey, 181OA. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Garnos. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 181 is so amended. Further comments and or action? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to be very brief, I'm going to support the state fair. Sometimes when we make cuts, we end up costing the state more than that actual cut is worth. And it looks to me like this could be one of those times. We have no idea when we read this deed. They could make you move those buildings in 60 days. What could be the cost of that? That could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to move those buildings off. And I don't doubt that the 170 acres is a valuable piece of property that they would want back if we no longer have a fair. And when we look at the total money that is generated in sales taxes of $300,000 throughout the year and add that on to the ongoing costs of moving all these buildings off, at this time, I think we should go forward and try to find some funds for the fair. Thank you.
Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Senator Hansen getting us a copy of this deed, and I just reference my remarks to the deed and say that I think I can speak with a degree of authority because this is the nature of what I do in my real life. And the provision regarding the removal of the buildings does not place a requirement on the state. It gives the state the option. It's absolutely wouldn't put the state in any jeopardous position in terms of having to remove them at an incredible expense. If that scenario were to take place, the state could simply walk away and the buildings would be someone else's problem. The second thing I would like to say is that in this in this deed, it does not speak to the scope of the fair. It gives some basic parameters, but I think the Attorney General probably be interesting to hear what he have to say. But I suspect he would say that it would not be difficult for the state fair to maintain the integrity of that covenant with even if they significantly downsized the state fair. The reason I'm sharing that is because I think those two things, to become alarmed by those two covenants in this deed, would be pretty much knee-jerk reaction, and I don't think we have anything to worry about there.
Further comments? Senator Valley?
Well, I'm a little disappointed that we amended it down to $1, but I urge you to keep this alive. I know doing public math is very dangerous, but we said there was $1.5 million in gross sales and during the state fair, and that was just for the state fair, and then there is $3.7 million in off-season sales, gross sales in the community. So if you add those together, you get about $5.2 million, and 4% of that, the state share, is about $200,000. You take that $200,000 and you add the continuing costs of that we're always going to have for the claim, you got $360,000. That's if we close it down. That's what we're giving up. And so I think it's incumbent upon us that we're not going to be saving by closing down the state fair. So I would encourage you to vote for this bill as amended. Thank you.
Further comments? Senator Bradford.
Well, to me, I would have voted for this bill whether we put it to a dollar or whether we didn't. Not because that the state fair is really an enormous thing to me, but I know that our the two tribal entities that I'm very, very close to, the Rosebud Tribal Fair and the Ogallala Sioux Tribal Fair, both are funded out of the general funds of the tribes. And to me, the whole state of South Dakota should be proud enough of our youth and our kids to be able to fund this thing. I think it's a joke almost that we even consider cutting away this type of an activity for the state of South Dakota.
Further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass. I'm sorry. Senator Hansen.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bradford kind of brings up a point that I think that we have not really zeroed in on head-on, although Representative Berg, you know, really kind of moved in this direction as far as we talk in terms of quality of life, and the state fair fits into that, you know, whether it be the Cultural Heritage Center, whether it be our Game Fish and Parks investments in boat landings and parks. And if we decided that we do not want as a state to fund anything that makes life in South Dakota more pleasant, we could, you know, we could eliminate a lot of expense, but you know, that should be across the board. But I don't think that that's really the feeling of we as public policymakers. I don't think that that's the feeling of the people of South Dakota. They like the fact that we do publicly provide some of these things that are for their, I hesitate to call it for their entertainment, but you know, that's the portion of life that is being addressed. And I know, I think my comments previously you know, pretty well indicate where I'm coming from on this bill. But that's also another area that I think is worthy of some consideration, is you know, this is a quality of life issue.
Further comments or action? Emphasis on the action. Senator Klocek.
Well, very briefly, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hansen said a few things that kind of sparked my interest, and I would have liked to have seen some other efforts made to show the correspondence on the sales tax, some efforts to designate that money that's collected in peer for that, but seeing as that's not going to happen, I just want to emphasize that this is a family event, and the people from South Dakota come into that community for a week and spend those dollars in the state. Now, if this didn't happen, those people would go elsewhere. They'd probably cause some demise of the county fairs as well, but it's a family event, and the people that participate synergize and work together and develop a relationship that's not uncommon in the industry of helping our youth, and our youth benefit from it more so. If anything, we should be expanding the use and funding for the state fair and the 4-H programs and not trying to get rid of it. I think it's a great program. If we would expand the use of the state fair and the 4-H programs, I think our youth would be better served. We wouldn't need to spend some money on some of our juvenile programs, some of our other very, very expensive programs for our youth that are done across the state of South Dakota. And I think we're kind of looking at this thing backwards. My deepest sorrow for the gentleman from the Bureau of Finance today. He had a tough job, and we certainly have some tough jobs up here. But I do think that we need to be going beyond this and looking for partial funding sources and doing the things that are right for the people of South Dakota. And this is one of the programs, the State Fair, that does things right. Thank you.
For Senator Garnos.
Mr. Chairman, I make a do-pass motion on Senate Bill 181 in the amended form.
Motion do-pass as amended by Senator Garnos, second by Senator Bradford. Comments on that motion?
No.
Any comments on the motion? Seeing none, the motion is do-pass as amended, Senate Bill 181. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Klochuk?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 9 yeas.
Motion carries. House Bill 181 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended.
Thank you all.
With that, that brings us, that was the one and only bill. We will have, I believe, 3 bills on Thursday. Any announcements? Seeing none, motion to adjourn. By Bradford, seconded by Valley. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Motion carries.